Psalm 118 verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Is that your prayer this morning? If you have your Bibles, turn to John chapter 6. If you have your bulletins, you can follow along there. But in John chapter 6, verses 41 through 59 is going to be the section of Scripture that we will be focusing in on this morning in our three-part series on Why Do You Doubt God? Why do you doubt God? In John chapter 6, verse 41, "So the Jews grumbled, murmured, complained about him, because he said, 'I am the bread that came down from heaven.' They said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down from heaven?' Jesus answered him, 'Do not grumble, whine, complain, murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets that they will be all taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.' The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds of my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides, remains, continually is with me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, whoever feeds on me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like the bread the fathers ate and died. Whoever feeds on this bread will live forever.' Jesus said these things in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." This is the word of God. Heavenly Father, thank you again for this passage of Scripture as we learn again that you are the bread of life. And though, Lord, we doubt, we ask that you would help us by the power of the Holy Spirit to ask questions of faith and to not doubt, and specifically not have the reactions, as we're going to learn today, of doubt. May you do a work in our lives this morning, in Jesus' name, amen. In the last week, we talked about doubt and how we have questions. And some of us are asking questions that are good questions about faith and about God, and specifically about how Jesus can change and do a work in our lives, and that he is constantly doing a work and planning things in our lives. But we, sometimes in the flesh, don't like the plans that God has for us. So we doubt. We begin to doubt God. As believers, we doubt that, though we don't doubt his power, we doubt that his plans mean anything good for us. We question him, and it leads to sin. As unbelievers, you see doubt as that Jesus is not God, truly the incarnate God, that he did come as a man to die for all man's sin. You doubt that Jesus is God. And the results of those doubts lead to sin. This morning, we're going to talk about those consequences. If you, as a believer in Christ, remain in doubt, it will lead to three things in your life. Your life will be characterized by these three things. Okay? I'm just going to throw them out there. You ready? You're going to be a complaining, whining baby. You're going to be ignorant. Spiritually ignorant of God's work in your life. And third, first you're going to be, I got to look at my third one. You're going to complain. You're going to be ignorant. And then thirdly, you will be unteachable. This is a great message for communion, is it not? We're going to look at these things, and I promise you, as a follower of Christ, you're going to say, that's me. That's me too often. I too often complain. I'm too often not, I lack spiritual insight and understanding. And most of the time, God, I am unteachable. But understand the context of this verse in John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, he is speaking to Jews. And these Jews did not believe that Jesus was the Son of God. They believed that Jesus could feed them. He could provide for their physical needs at a whim. And that's why they wanted to follow him. They wanted Jesus for all the good things that God can bring them. They did not look for a spiritual salvation, but a physical salvation. And because of their unbelief, because of their doubt, it led to complaining. It led to lack of spiritual understanding. It led to an unteachable heart. But you guys got to understand, if you're a follower of Christ, we can fall right back into this. Can we not? We can fall right back into this because of our doubts about God's plans in our lives. So let's take a look. The first thing is complaining. Found in verse 41 in 43. So the Jews grumbled. The word here is murmur. It's whining. It's complaining. It's... You ever done that before? If you have kids, I promise you, you have. I cannot tolerate whining and complaining out of my kids. I hate it. Now, they only do it like once a week. No! The invention of the iPad made it so that they complain every second. So they whine and they complain and they murmur under their breath. God, he just went... That's exactly what the word murmur is. It's annoying, is it not? Now, some of you are saying, I don't do that. I never do that. Well, I thought, what a great illustration for this in a short little video that Jake's going to play. So why don't you focus your screen on this and ask yourself, is this you?
Sir, I don't want to come across as a complainer.
No, it's fine. What's on your mind?
Well, first off, my office is way too small.
Okay.
And my parking space stinks. The elevator is too slow. I need a new computer and a better work chair. The fax machine never dials right. And the copier, oh, the copier is out of toner at least once a week.
But
I don't understand why I get stuck with all the busy work. I mean, other people should be busy too. I mean, look at Johnson. I'm pulling my hair out. I'm so busy. But Johnson's just strolling around the hallways, picking up trash and cleaning up little messes.
But Johnson's the janitor.
And Christy. Christy's always bragging about all the cool places she's going to. Oh, I'm going to London. I'm going to Spain. I should get to go to cool places, too.
She's our international sales.
And Schwartz. I don't like the way he's always looking better than me. He's always dressing better than me. Having more sales. Winning more awards. Oh, look at me. I'm salesman of the year. I'm Schwartz. Blah, 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 blah.
Is that all, Devlin?
No. The office is way too cold in the mornings and really warm at night. Not comfortable!
Okay.
I don't know about you, but I can't stand complainers. Don't you feel like doing that sometimes when people are complaining? Unfortunately, that's exactly what we sound like often with God. You know, the Greek word in the Septuagint in the Old Testament, in the Greek of the Old, in the Septuagint, in Numbers chapter 11, in Exodus chapter 16, it's the exact same word that the Jews did when they didn't get enough bread. When God, remember God in Exodus chapter 16, He delivered the manna for 40 years. They murmured and they complained. And then in Numbers chapter 11, it says, man, we've been eating this bread for so long. Could you just give us some meat? We're tired of this bread. We need some garlic. They murmur and they complain. It's the same word used here in this passage of Scripture. Why is that important? Because understand the text of what's going on here. The Jews wanted bread that Jesus had just fed 5,000 with. And they're coming to Him. And they say, what? You know, Moses did it for 40 years, Jesus. You're only going to do it for one day? Murmur, murmur, murmur. Complain, complain, complain. Whine, whine, whine. Jesus, knowing their hearts, says in verse 43, do not whine, complain, murmur among yourselves. We are a complaining people. The Jews complained because they did not understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand that Jesus was God. And so they asked questions in 42, is not Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does He now say, I have come down from heaven? Listen, High Point Church, because of their doubt, they complain. Did they have reason to doubt Jesus? Shake your head. He had fed 5,000 people with a couple loaves. Before that, He had turned water into wine. Before that, He had saved a woman at the well. Before that, He'd met at Nicodemus, shared Christ with Nicodemus, saved the official's son. We don't need any more reason to believe that Jesus is God, but they complain and whine because their physical needs weren't met. They had hearts of unbelief, and so they complained. So you, follower of Christ, how does this apply to your life? Well, you do know that Jesus died for your sins. You do know that Jesus rose from the dead and has forgiven you of your sins, but you doubt His plans in your life. You have any number of struggles that are going on. Family, relationships, money, debt, you name it, whatever it is, and you don't think it's fair. You want the grass greener on the other side. And our prayers become more of a whining and a complaining and not submitting to the fact that maybe God has you in that lot to teach us. We complain and we whine because we doubt God. We doubt that the hard things that come to our lives is a part of God's plan in our lives to draw us closer, to make us need Him more, like bread. Bread is such a big thing in the Jewish culture. Bread was the foundation of their food. So by Jesus describing Himself as the bread, He was saying, I understand your needs. Or should I say, I understand your wants. But you need to understand your need is for the bread of life. They didn't want it. So they complained. Would that describe you, follower of Christ? When people describe you, do they See a person that is constantly whining and complaining about their life's lot? Constantly telling people how bad their life is? I get caught in this too. I get caught in my life constantly telling God that I wish something was different. Even as I was driving here, irritable and stressed out and just like on a short fuse, every little thing annoyed me. And I complain. Don't they get it? Why didn't they do this? And I whine and I complain, not knowing that God is doing a work in my heart, even for this morning. Do you whine and complain? The second thing that it leads to, found in verses 41 through 51, is ignorance. Plain ignorance. What is ignorance? It's the lack of knowledge, specifically spiritual understanding. These Jews lacked spiritual understanding. Why? Because they were unbelievers. And secondly, as the verse says, no one, verse 44, no one comes to me unless the Father sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 45, it is written in the prophets, and they will be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Are you ignorant this morning of God's spiritual understanding? This word, if you're an unbeliever in Christ, if you do not know Jesus, you are absolutely without understanding. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit, for they are spiritually discerned. You don't understand because God, you are not responding to God's drawing. You have a responsibility, one that is ignorant. Respond to God's drawing work. Is God drawing you? If you're a follower of Christ, you also can become, because of your doubt, spiritually ignorant of God's word again. Though you do have great knowledge of salvation and the fact that you know Christ as your Savior, you have become dull of hearing so that when the word speaks to you, you want nothing to do with it. How do I know this? Hebrews chapter 5. Follow along with me. About this we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles or the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Why? For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is still a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. Followers of Christ, you doubt God because of his plans in your life, and it leads to spiritual ignorance, where you no longer want to hear what the Word of God has to say in your life. How do I know this? Well, you can look at Philippians chapter 4 and see two ladies named Yodia and Syntyche. And what were they doing but arguing and complaining and whining? And Paul admonishes them, let your reasonableness be known to all that the Lord is at hand. The word reasonableness there means let it go. Let it go. But because of our ignorance, we can't let it go. We look at the word, and the word speaks to us. But it's almost like it goes in our eyes, and it does nothing else. What doubt does in your life, follower of Christ, is it leads to complaining and whining, and then it will lead to spiritual ignorance. You no longer want anybody to tell you about this. Now, I've seen it. I've seen it in people who have been believers for 30 years. I've seen it in people who have been believers for 6 months. When you think they should still be on a spiritual vacation. But they know that the power of salvation is to change. But when something hits them, when something hard hits them, they fall apart. When sin encompasses their life, they no longer want anybody to speak into their life. They become spiritually ignorant. And it's a result of doubting God's plans. The last thing, real quick, found in verses 52 through the rest of the chapter, and that is unteachable. The Jews then disputed amongst themselves, how can this man give us flesh to eat? Now this is quite simple. Jesus is not saying to literally eat his flesh. Okay? What he is saying here is because bread is such an important staple in the culture of the Jews, that they understood that making bread, giving out bread, loving the smell of bread, putting oil on bread does nothing until you consume the bread. What Jesus is saying is, unless you eat of this bread, unless you drink of this blood, unless you take me in, you will never understand what it means to have the bread of life. You're still wanting this physical salvation. You're still wanting me to provide a bread that is going to make you hungry in another 24 hours. That's why you came searching for me. Because you want a bread like the Israelites in the wilderness that they wanted for 40 years. It would never stop them from complaining. And if Jesus were to provide you with every physical want that you want, it will still not be enough. You don't think that's true? Look at our society. It's always about the next greatest thing. You don't think that's true? Look at the iPhones and the iPads and all these different things. Praise God that they can be used for God's glory. But what an epitome of our society is that we cannot have enough. The Jews became unteachable because they lacked faith. They doubted that Jesus was God. And when he plainly is telling them, and I know this is a hard saying, but he is plainly telling them, you must receive me as Lord and Savior. If you do not receive me, you will never live forever. Though you can have a physical salvation, you will never have eternal life. And that's their greatest need. Follower of Christ, when you become unteachable, it's a sad place to be. When people can no longer speak into your life, it's a sad place to be. When you no longer want to read the word and understand the word and allow people to preach into your life, it is a sad day for you, follower of Christ. When you no longer are teachable to what God has to say, look at verse 51 real quick. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And check out this part. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. What is he talking about there? Well, it's a future tense. What Jesus is describing here is what he's going to do on the cross. That his body represents the flesh. And that he will give his body for everyone on the cross. And when you focus on what Jesus did on the cross, it removes the doubt that you have. It removes the questions that are in lack of faith. It starts to melt away your complaining and whining. It starts to melt away your lack of spiritual understanding Because as Philemon 1:6 says, that the sharing of your faith may be effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing you have in Christ. See, when you focus on the cross, it changes everything. It puts the center where it needs to be, on the cross. The Jews didn't understand it because they had doubts. They had doubts about God's power in a sense of salvation and their plans in regards to providing for their physical needs every day. And so as I close, as we get to communion, follower of Christ, we are no different than the Jews when we start going down this road again. Though we do know Christ, though some of you in this room have placed your trust in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are still complaining. And you do not want anybody speaking into your life. The Word of God has no effect to change your heart. And unteachable in the sense that you don't want anybody telling you. You don't want anybody confronting you in your sin. Is that where you're at today? It's very easy to slip into this sort of doubt. Or in a sense, the effects of doubt. And that's what we're talking about here. The questions that we talked about in part one lead to doubt. And that doubt's effect starts to flush out itself in complaining and lack of understanding and unteachable heart. As we go to communion today, you know, there's not a lot of fluffy bunnies with this message. There's not a lot of, I don't know, cotton candy and unicorns again. This is a reflective time. Because I gotta say, I gotta bet that if you're a follower of Christ, you can see that your heart slips in this way. Does it not? And those are times when you need to confess and go back to verse 51 in that Jesus was going to die on the cross for my sins. And so as we go to communion right now, as you hold up that bread, it is a symbol. It is a symbol of Jesus' perfect life. The perfect life that you can't live. But He did for you so that you could have eternal life. He is the bread of life. Do you feed on Him daily? Follower of Christ, do you feed on Him daily? And then as you hold that bread, you begin to confess your sin. And if you're like me, you need to confess your complaining, whining attitude. You need to confess the fact that when you read the Word, you don't respond to it. You need to confess when someone speaks into your life, you get angry with them. This is a time to confess our sins before God and maybe to other people, like I had to this morning. 1 John 1:9 says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful to forgive. The reason you confess isn't because it gives you a new salvation. It's because it restores the relationship. Confess your sin. And as you hold that juice, you remember that His shed blood, because of His shed blood, it was an acceptable sacrifice. Hebrews 9:22 says this very clearly. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. If Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life, it does nothing for you until He dies on the cross. His blood had to be shed for the forgiveness of sins. Something, someone, God had to die to be the sacrifice for mankind. Do you believe that? And when you hold that juice, you thank God for that. You praise the reconciliation, the plan of reconciliation. In the Father sent the Son to be the sacrifice for all of our sins and then gives you the Holy Spirit to remind you every day of His great plan of salvation. What a good God. Communion is a great time, but do not forget, it is for the believer in Christ. Do not mock the communion table. Do not go back and receive communion if you do not believe that Jesus died for your sins, because you make a mockery of the symbols that you are partaking in. But why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you today receive that great bread of life and confess your sin and confess your need and go back and celebrate communion for the first time, truly remembering what Jesus did? Truly remembering that Jesus died for your sins. Communion is a great time to remember that we are these whiny, complaining, unteachable, lack of spiritual knowledge people that God loves. Isn't that good news? You should be smiling about now. Now, I know you're feeling bad because I just crushed you with a bunch of sin. Well, I'm crushing myself. Doesn't feel great. But you know what is great? Romans 8:1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Are you in Christ this morning? I'm going to pray. And then when I pray, I'm going to go back to my seat. And if you've never done communion here, what's going to happen is Jake's going to play a couple songs. We do communion maybe different than you've ever done communion before. But in that time, in those two songs, before the two songs are done, you go back and you get, if you are a follower of Christ, you go back and you get those elements. You get those symbols. And you hold them at your seat. And you begin to confess sin and you begin to thank God. Okay? And during that time, I will come up and we will commune together. But this is a time to do business with God. And I pray you'll do that today. Remember, the heart of doubt will lead to these things. May God forgive us when they do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we can spend together in communion and the remembrance. And we are grateful, Lord. We are grateful for your great plan of salvation and that you are the bread of life who gives eternally. I thank you that we take this time to remember. And I pray that, Lord, that you would change some hearts this morning and change mine. Help me to repent and turn to you. In Jesus' name, amen.